wouldn't know.
It's the better one, that one.
I wouldn't know, Jonathan, me lad. Mew. Mew fruit.
Mew fruit.
Mew fruit. Who the fuck says that?
I've heard you say it quite a few times, actually.
Dirty Kong Podcast.
That's become your new thing, hasn't it? Just playing a little sound clip before every before the show starts.
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's the voyeuristic nature of capturing audio.
Yeah, there we go. That's there's some long words.
I'm going to set up a mic in your toilet one day.
Oh, that wouldn't be pretty.
That was the old Dio there.
Yes.
Yes. Our lifelong friend and constant wank material. I masturbate over Dio.
Yes.
Is that an online confession at the minute?
I don't know whether you want to make that public.
Well, it's there now, isn't it? So
actually, you know, saying that, I had a friend a long time ago. I don't speak to him anymore, which is probably a good thing, and I doubt very much he listens to this. But I would probably say we was about 16, and you know what all lads are doing around that age, you're just frantically masturbating over everything.
Yeah, that age.
At that age.
Not anymore.
Yeah, because I don't do that now.
I did it on the car on the way over.
I've done it on the drive out the door. We've all been there.
We've all heard that story.
I will not. Will not say that again. But yeah, I went round his, I said I was going to go round his ass that night because he was going to play some football on the field, as you do when you're a lad, when you're a youngin', and went into his room, you know, my mum let me in the house, and his mum, sorry, let me in the house, and she just said, I'll go up.
I don't know where this is going.
And I caught him, was kind of going through that whole kind of rock, greb kind of age, you know, where you're like wearing hoodies and, you know, painting your nails black and all that kind of shit. And
like the Rock.
I kind of maybe walked in on him.
Oh, Christ.
And this is kind of... I think this was something to like try and make himself feel more rock and roll. He was masturbating over a poster of Slipknot.
Okay. You say rock and roll, I'm saying gay.
Yeah. Well, this is it. I didn't see him like knob in hand. He had his back to me. He had like an old armchair in his room.
Right.
And yeah, he just had this poster on the floor, and he was just there, like just you could hear the
poster. He was stood over the poster.
He was kind of sat on the edge of his.
Oh, okay.
On the edge of his like armchair.
Weird.
And yeah, he was just wanking over it. And I think it was just to make himself seem more. Rock and roll.
He's like, listening
this
to
is
like
how much I love it.
Thrash metal and going.
Well, yeah. The thing he had Slipknot on.
Ah, liked Slipknot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I guess that's why he didn't hear me come in the room.
Did you hear him? That would have been.
Well, what I kind of did was is I opened the door and I saw this kind of quivering 16-year-old, obviously tugging one out. And so I kind of shut. I went back out and shut the door. And I kind of really rattled the handle, you know, as if like
suddenly,
I was,
letting you put
as if
now.
All of a sudden it was a real problem to get into his bedroom. And so I kind of really like rattled it and like fucking, you know, mashed it. And then I came in, I was like, "Yo, Adam." He's like, "Oh, yeah. Oh, I said his name. Oh well, first name basis. That's fine.
That's fine.
And I was like, "Yo, Adam." He's like, "Yeah. Sorry, mate. Hold on a sec. I'm just getting changed." I was like, oh, okay. Sorry, your door was a bit... You got something stuck behind your door then? He's like, oh, yeah, it must be, yeah.
All the spunk.
Yeah.
In my fucking Megadeth poster.
So,
Oh, man.
And that was weird. Wow. Because the thing is that me being the good friend that I am, I didn't just go in and go, you're wanking over Slipknot.
That'd have been me.
That would have been you and a few other friends that I know. But me being the, you know, the caring kind of guy...
Yes.
And let him think that he got away with it.
Oh, bless
and
it.
So, you know, he carried on as normal and was playing football. And it's like every now and then I just thought, You freak. You was ranking over a Slipknot poster.
That is weird. Is he gay now?
No, he's totally not. His brother is, but he's not.
I wonder if he's just, like, experimenting. You know?
Well, maybe, yeah. Some curiosity going on there.
Wow.
But,
Lovely.
Mm.
Hello, everybody. I'm John Boy. And,
And I'm JT.
Yeah.
The OJ train.
We forgot about that. It's all 5 minutes in, Jay, and we haven't introduced ourselves.
No, we haven't.
They might have forgotten who we were.
Yeah, I found that quite believable. We're forgettable characters, we are.
Oh, and welcome to another edition of the Dirty Kong podcast.
Yeah.
We're still here.
You sound so lacklustre. Welcome to another episode blah.
There.
Yeah, we're going to talk to you for an hour, try not to fall asleep.
What are we, 64, 65?
I 64. Thought it was 64. Is it 64? I always go one too many.
Yeah.
I always go, like, the extra.
That's what I've heard.
I'm hoping for death. Just like, this is how I imagine my life will be when I'm like 70 and I'm in an old people's home. Because I'm planning to get in there fucking well early. As soon as I hit 65 and I'm in an old people's home, then 75 I'm fucking dead.
I would like to picture us in the future in an old people's home together and just still doing the Dirty Kong podcast. Hello, this is Dirty Kong episode 300. Not too many.
No.
For saying it's going to be like 40 years in the future. We're not going to get that many done.
Yeah, it'll be a bi-monthly podcast by then.
Yeah.
Whenever... My name is... What's my name?
That's basically...
Larry! My name's Larry!
That's the show now, though. We forget each other's names all the time.
We do. I'm terrible for that.
We half the time we forget we're doing a show.
We do, yeah. We end up just like talking to each other and then it's like, oh, shit. Still running.
Still recording, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, we're on episode 64 of the Dirty Kong podcast. And we'll start off as always. What have you been up to this week, John?
Well, I was in town today, and I'm going to tell you, I saw something that I haven't seen in a long time that fucked me off rotten.
Was it...
Yeah, have a guess.
Was it a pack of Jews trying to rob a Waterstones?
No.
No?
No, it wasn't that, Jay. Wasn't a bunch of Jews, although I do hate the Jews.
Don't we all? Fucking hell, you know what? You still haven't put this fucking fag out, and that's going to kill me. I haven't even tried to put that out.
I just left it in the ashtray, as is my wont.
God, that stinks. You smelly Jew.
You're acting like you don't smoke.
I do smoke, but it's the smell of, like, it burning the filter.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. No, what it was the it was a living statue, Jay.
What? Yeah. Really?
You know, I thought that had died away, you know.
Yeah.
With the fucking Mexican Callisto players or whatever the fuck they're called. yeah, but a living statue. And
wow.
It's just so fucking banal, man. They just stood there's this guy, he was on obviously on a platform, so he was really tall. Spray painted his face silver. He's got a silver hat on. He's wearing a silver jacket that extends all the way down to the floor. So it looks like he's a really tall statue.
Right.
And then he's just stood still. What the fuck is the point of that?
And does he not? Did he not like occasionally move to like make people like go, ooh?
Well, he was a very, very, what's the word? Flamboyant gentleman.
Yeah.
A thesp. You know.
A street thesp.
A street thesp. Fucking, this little girl went up to him, put a little, you know, I don't know how much, a couple of coins in the old can.
Yeah.
And he did this very flamboyant bow where he threw his hands in the air and bowed down to her. And the kid just looked at him like, even the little kid, she must have been about 2 years old, just looked at him like, you're a twat. You're an absolute, it's fucking useless. It's like mimes.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist anymore. We've done away with the mime. You know, it's like.
Yeah. Like we've finally rid that from England.
Yeah, it's like beating SARS or something. And it's just come back now. There are obviously these people that could never get a break as a real actor or anything. And this is their last little attempt. You know, they've been kicked out of the old local dramatic society.
Yeah.
And they're at the lowest of the low now, Jay. They're on the Derbyshire streets.
They're just clambering for any kind of, you know, any kind of stage where they'll get any kind of audience, you know, participation or anything like that.
But he didn't even look, because I've seen some like when I've been abroad and they look really like statues. They've got like special kind of paint on and blah blah blah, and they've really put an effort into the costume to make them look like a certain kind of statue. You know, the material might be quite stiff, etc.
Yeah.
This guy, he had like a plastic mask on that was sprayed silver. He sprayed his hands and the rest of his head silver. with like a top hat, a silver top hat, brilliant.
Right.
And then just a long silver sheet that went all the way down to the floor. So he was obviously like, you know, I don't know, 7 foot above the ground.
Right, yeah.
And that's it. He looked nothing like a fucking... He looked like he looked like a cunt dressed as a cunt, standing still like a cunt.
Quite cuntishly.
I wanted to push him really fucking hard off that thing. I just can't believe it.
Where's this rage come from?
I don't know.
Did you get a picture?
No, did I fuck it? Why would I want a picture?
Well, I thought that, you know, you're quite, you know, you're quite a, there is that. But with the podcast, you know, you're quite switched on, you know, so when you're out and about and, you know, something catches your eye, I know you always think, oh, that'd be good on the podcast.
Yeah, I should have
And
done.
I thought, you know, I had taken a picture of you kind of giving him the old, you know, flipping the bird at him or something.
Oh, that's a brilliant. I wish you were there now.
Yeah. We should go tomorrow and see if he's still there. And I'll go and I'll buy a dog. And then, because old dogs, like, piss up, like, you know, anything that's still, don't they? So, like, you know, lampposts and gates and cars. I'd like to see, you know, I'd buy a dog, take it up to this thing, get it to piss on his box. And then I'd just, like, take it back to the pet shop.
That's it. Because I did feel like, you know, going up to him and just whipping my dick out and just rubbing it on him just to see if he'd react, you know.
Keep still, your mother.
Do you think he'd have bent down for that fucking thing? Jesus Christ. And why would you give somebody money for that?
Yeah, it's encouraging it, isn't it? It's like a kid, like, when you're taking him to school and he's, like, throwing his books around and, like, or, like, dragging his feet or trying to run into the road. And it's like giving him sweets to, you know, to say, oh, well done, you almost got yourself run over then. Here's a sweet. It's encouraging bad behaviour.
Yeah.
What we should be doing is throwing rocks.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, he's literally doing nothing.
Yeah.
Literally. That's badly. His act. That's his actual act.
He's doing nothing badly.
Yeah, it didn't look good.
No.
But I just couldn't believe... I like... There's always street entertainers. You got, like... You get that guy throwing, like, juggling fire and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
There's an entertainment value there. Something to see. It's dangerous. It's a skill. It's a skill.
It's a skill there.
You know? I mean, juggling's pushing it for me, but fire juggling's quite cool.
Fire juggling, yeah, I can appreciate that.
You might throw a couple of coins in the old can.
Yeah, but man like fire.
Exactly, but, I mean...
Standing still. I should get, like, you know those campsite, you know, foldy out chairs, those camping chair things.
Yeah.
I should just get one of them out and just sit there next to him and have a beer.
Yeah.
And then every now and then just, like, scratch my arse and see if I get any money for it. Well, I'm basically doing the same as him. I'm just perfectly still until I get an itch.
I love that. Just some creepy guy sat on a fucking fold out chair with a tinny in hand, scaring children.
Yeah.
Here's a pound.
I'd be facing him. I'd be like fucking,
oh, right.
I'd be right at his heels. Fucking face on at him, just staring at him. You're shit, mate. You're shit. You moved then, didn't you? You moved then, you're shit, you are.
I fucked your mum.
Yeah.
You know, just any kind of puerile thing like that. I just didn't understand it.
I'm going to smear shit on your face in a minute.
It is the lowest of the low.
Yeah.
It doesn't get worse at all. But we're lucky we're still here recording, Jay, aren't we, really?
Yeah.
There's been some developments in space.
There has definitely. And I don't know why this wasn't... It wasn't even on the news, I don't think.
This is your rant for the day, isn't it?
It kind of is, yeah. If it was on the news, then I totally missed it.
Right.
But it's on the BBC website. And it's about this meteor or asteroid.
That's a rock in space.
Yes.
For anybody out there that's wondering.
Either rock or ice. I'll have you know.
Well, thank you very much.
In fact, most of the time, it's a mixture of the two. Anyway, that's boring facts, and we're not about boring facts.
No.
It's called Asteroid 2012 DA14, and...
Good name.
I know, it's catchy. I'd have called it Steve.
Steve.
Yeah, Steve the Meteor. Oh, Steve, how you doing? Still flying around, are you? And anyway,
we laugh.
So yeah, and it passes. It's got this orbit round the sun, I think, and it goes round the sun every 74 years.
Okay.
And most of the time, it comes nowhere fucking near us. In fact, pretty much all of the time, it's nowhere near us.
Right.
But this one time, it passed so fucking close to the Earth. I mean, the fact here is. It passed around 17,000 miles away, which
you know, yeah,
sounds like a lot, but I mean, I've got a diagram here, and I'm kind of hoping it's not too facty to put on the on our Dirty Kong Facebook page. But just I just want people to see how close we were to just to death, to absolute death, like fucking dinosaur death.
Total annihilation.
Yeah, seriously. This thing was travelling. It was about the size of an Olympic swimming pool. So pretty fucking big. I'd say probably, well, there's a scale here. And it's about 15 times the size of a two-bedroom detached house. Right. You know, a quite a big house.
Big then.
Yeah. And it was travelling at 17,500 miles an hour. So
that's fast.
Fast, yeah. And the fact is, if it had hit the Earth, we'd be dead. Because all the volcanoes would have gone shit nuts and all the fucking dust and the atmosphere would have, like, fucking become unbreathable. Anyway, that's too facty. But we almost died on Friday. We almost died at Friday at 9:30.
Yeah.
And no one fucking knows. No one fucking knows.
Nobody knew or cared.
No! And I posted it on Facebook and I was like, look guys, you know, this is gonna, you know, it's fucking, it's shaving Earth's beard, it's that fucking close.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, yeah, what are you having for tea tonight, mate? Mm. Fucking hell! We're gonna...
It's a picture of my new baby.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, oh look at my dog chasing his tail. Really? You're gonna watch that instead of watching just fucking fire and brimstone passes right. by at 17,500 miles an hour? No one fucking knows.
No one gave a shit.
No one gave a shit.
Fucking believable.
Oh, man. And the thing is, apart from the fact that it's so almost killed us, the fact that it's so interesting, you know, these things rarely, like, really, very rarely happen.
Yeah, they rarely come that close.
Yeah. You know, everyone's... And it was like a fortnight ago, everyone was like, oh, we'll be able to see shooting stars in the sky tonight. And everyone fucking jogged outside looking at shooting stars. This thing would have been so fucking close, you could have fucking cooked an egg. It was that close off the heat they bought off it. Beautiful. And everyone was like, nah, I'm all right.
Yeah, whatever.
I'll watch EastEnders. I'll watch Corrie instead. Yeah, because your life's not fucking interesting, isn't it? Fucking, oh, man. You'd rather watch Corrie instead of seeing this meteorite traveling at fucking fast speeds. Nah. Oh, what's Gabby doing? Oh, she's having it off with your fucking butcher.
Who's Gabby?
I don't know. It's some fuck bitch out of Coronation Street, probably. They've all got fucking oldie time.
I couldn't name you a character of any of those.
No. Shows. Well, I just picked a name.
Yeah.
You know.
Gabby, that's Gabby Roslin.
Yeah, well, remember yeah, her? That's, yeah, Gabby, she was fit in
she
the day.
She was fit back in the day, yeah.
So, anyway, that's my rant. I'm still angry, but I'm going to get over it.
Nice.
But just to let you know, we almost died probably, 4 days ago. So appreciate your lives, guys. Live every day like it's your last. Hug your kids and ring your mom and tell her that you love her, man.
But you don't just post it on Facebook.
But
because we're not interested.
No,
we're not. Do all that, but in the comfort of your own home.
Mm.
Away from your laptops.
Yeah, if you do that on Facebook, I'm just going to fucking slap you to death with my balls.
You know, personally, I'm sick of people just posting any old shit on the internet.
Yeah. A certain friend's certain wife or partner or girlfriend. Wife.
Are you referring to anybody in particular? Or?
I don't want to name names, but she had a name out of Tekken.
Right. I'm with you.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
After 12,000 pictures of your baby, yeah, maybe, you know, stop that
knock
now.
Knock on the head.
Yeah, the taking the pictures, not the baby. Don't knock the baby on the head.
I have a story that links to that, actually.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, but we'll go to that one first. Man accused of slapping toddler and hurling N-word rant at him on plane.
Oh, on a plane. That's not where you want it to happen.
That's not where you want it to happen. Well, I assume you don't want it to happen anytime, really.
Oh, no, you do. Every day.
Somewhere where you can record it on a video phone.
Yeah.
A man has been accused of slapping a 19-month-old boy and hurling a racist slur at him for crying on the plane.
Wow.
We've all been there.
We've all been angry at a baby on a plane.
Crying on the plane.
But I've never gone to those lengths as much as I wanted to.
Joe Hundley has lost his job and has been charged with assaulting the lad on the flight. He is accused of telling little Jonah's mum, Jonah, really? Jonah's mum, Jessica Bennett, to shut the fucking nigger baby up. Yeah.
Oh, that is some fucking vile, monstrous words there.
And it's not even correct. It's half caste baby.
Right.
After the boy started crying.
Yeah, you should have called it a nigger light, shouldn't he?
Yeah.
You know, get your terminology right, sunshine.
Oh,
you fruit.
Jesus Christ on a stick. Yeah, shut the N-word baby up. After the boy started crying when the altitude of the plane changed. You know, like, it happens all the time.
Yeah.
Hundley then allegedly turned around and slapped the toddler in the face, making him scream even louder. So that's not solving the problem.
No.
You want the baby to shut up. You put a sock in its mouth.
Yeah.
Gag it to death.
That's it. It's like having a flat tire, being angry at it, and then shooting it.
Yeah. Slashing it up.
Yeah.
Jonah suffered a scratch below his eye. Oh, boo-hoo. Get over it. Jesus Christ.
Grow up.
Grow up, for fuck's sake. The incident is said to have happened on the Delta flight from Minnesota, blah, 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 to Atlanta in Georgia. Mrs. Bennett, who was 33, told a TV station, "I could not believe that he would say something like that, and to a baby or about a baby. And then to hit him was just, I felt like I was in another world. I was shaking."
Yeah, it's because he was shaking, yeah.
Yeah. Hundley from Idaho declined to comment, apparently. He has since been sacked from his job. See, that's not fair.
No.
He only slapped the kid.
Yeah.
Kids need a good slap these days.
They do, yeah. A 2-year-old. He needs to learn the ways of the world.
That's right.
You know, nothing comes easy.
At job at an aeros... Okay, here we go. Let's read this again. He has been sacked from his job at an aerospace and defence firm.
All right.
So an aerospace and defence firm. So it's quite a high-flying job.
Oh, he's an astronaut.
Yeah? Is that what that means? I don't know.
Probably.
Jonah's family has not decided whether to sue Hundley yet, but their lawyer, John Thompson, said, "The family wants to make sure that Mr. Hundley and anyone like Mr. Hundley never does something like this again." Yeah, whatever. They want money.
Well, how can you possibly guarantee that? Are you going to, like, make a law where you can't feel a certain emotion? Yeah, I totally agree that maybe he shouldn't have slapped the kid and maybe not call it the N-word. That much is obvious. But you can't stop him feeling like that. So how is that, that law, what is just said, how's he going to stop people from doing that?
Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me.
Right.
And I think we can all learn a valuable lesson there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to learn a valuable lesson by smoking a fag and not talking to you for 5 minutes.
Okay, it's a one-man show. I will say, though, half-caste baby, Jay. What colour do you think the parents are? Just, you know, pick a nationality, say.
I don't know. Chinese, Japanese, Pekingese, look at these.
Both white.
Both white?
So something's gone wrong there. Somebody's lying to somebody.
Someone's been sleeping with the milkman.
Yeah, brilliant.
He's been delivering a different kind of milk.
Also, breaking news, Jay, and you know, we forgot, I should have said this at the beginning of the show, TV favourite and Good Life star Richard Bryce has died at age 79.
Yeah, totally.
Oh,
man.
That's sad. Let's, I think we should toast the man.
Yeah.
There we go.
To Bryce.
Brought, you know, because I remember watching The Good Life on telly. It was just one of those Sunday shows.
Yeah.
Good British old telly star.
He was funny. Felicity Kendall, she was fit.
Oh, she was so fit.
She was so fit, man.
Unbelievable. Even in her older age.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, she's kind of like, she still takes it up the chop, I reckon.
Most definitely. I bet Richard gave her a good couple of...
Oh, yeah, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, had a rummage around in her sandpit. I don't know.
Sandpit?
Allotment. I was looking for the word allotment. But yeah, and he also did the voice of Rhubarb and Custard, which was amazing. Yeah. I used to love Rhubarb and Custard.
He was just from a different kind of British telly that doesn't exist today. And I think it's just well worth remembering. This show is dedicated to Richard Bryce.
Yeah.
Even though he'd hate that, I imagine. Yeah. You know,
he would hate this and everything about it.
But what's brilliant is I bought a zombie film from Blockbuster the other day. It was Zombies vs. Cockneys.
Mm.
You know, it's comedy, you know, British comedy zombie film.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, and he was in that. I think it was one of his last film roles. He just played this old bugger, like, escaping from some zombies, moving really slowly with a Zimmer frame. And I was laughing my ass off. And I was just like, fair play to the guy. You know, he's on his last legs when he was making that film, but it was fucking funny, man.
Oh, brilliant, man. So, you see, that's it. It's, you know, from that kind of era, they just never gave up, did they?
That's it.
You know, it's like, don't matter what's wrong with them and stuff, they're still plough on. I mean, like, I know John Cleese is, you know, is healthy and stuff, but he recently did like a stand-up tour. And it's like the guy's in his 80s.
Yeah.
And he's still doing stand-up tours. Still, I mean, going. Fucking hell. Most people would want to, like, sit down and drink warm tea and, you know, watch reruns of, I don't know, old films. But not go. Him. He's like, fucking no, still on the game.
Well, the thing is, what reminded me about this story was because we've just lit up here. And it just says that, you know, Richard Brice died age 79, so good innings. Just weeks after confessing he had run out of strength after a lifetime smoking 500,000 cigarettes.
Wow. But in one go.
If he smoked 500,000 cigarettes and he got to 79, that's a good advertisement for cigarettes right there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to smoke one thing.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep going to the million mark and...
I like to think he kept a running tally of every single cigarette he smoked as well. Yeah. It's a very specific number. Yeah.
Kept a diary.
Yeah.
Day 72. I had my 14,000, I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. A number. A quite high number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, well played to him. He did some other stuff as well. He was also...
He did everything. Loads.
Recently, he was... I haven't got this on my tablet at the moment. He was... boycotting an extra runway at Heathrow, I think. For another runway to be built. You see, it's, you know, I've just got respect for him. Props for the man.
Mm.
So
a fighter.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Right. Shall I bang a story out?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Keep it not serious, but I've got a story. Let me just find it. I've got a story about a diamond heist.
Ooh.
This is brilliant.
Fruity.
Brussels diamond robbery nets gigantic haul is the headline.
You know what? I think I looked at this story for this show, actually.
Yeah. Armed robbers have made off with a gigantic haul of diamonds after a rapid raid at Brussels airport.
Nice.
Now, this is quite dramatic, really. Disguised as police, they broke through a fence on Monday evening and broke into the cargo of a Swiss-bound plane to take the gems, estimated to be worth around £50 million.
Nice.
Which is the biggest diamond robbery in history, I think, or at least one of them.
It's like Ocean's 11.
It is.
12 and 13.
Well, actually, it wouldn't have made a very long film because it all happened within about 10 minutes.
Oh, right.
You know, they made a hole, went through it, nicked the diamonds and went back through the same hole. Nice. It all gets a little bit wordy, but basically what happened is that there was they had like two, they call them SUVs over there, you know, okay, as they do in America, those big black vans,
security vans or whatever.
Yeah. And they marked up exactly like police vehicles.
Nice.
And then they got up in all this like police gear. They were like proper professionals. They reckon that they were like ex-military. And
oh yeah, okay.
And so they like got into these vans, stormed through, like made a hole in the fence, stormed through with the vans, stopped this plane while it was going down the runway. It was about to take off.
Fucking hell.
And they fucking bombed in front of it. This, you know, and this plane just fucking stopped and swerved all over the shop. Went up with guns, you know, they had like automatic rifles, just pointed, you know, stuck, just got in there. Took not even half of the cargo hold as well.
Jesus Christ.
So there was a shitload. But you see, this is what they did right. They didn't get greedy. They only wanted 50 million. But you know, I mean, it says later on in the story that that there was like loads more pallets. So they could have been taking more and more and more, but they was like, no, we'll take what we want and then we'll get the fuck out of here. Don't get greedy.
Yeah, hang around, get caught.
Yeah, and so after a few minutes, they were back off the plane, stormed through the hole that they made in the fence and fucked off.
Nice.
There was about 8 of them and police haven't got a clue where they are.
I was going to say they got away. Nice.
So yeah, definitely.
I've got respect for that because that is a well-planned heist. They made a lot of effort. Like you say, they planned it well. They weren't greedy. They did the fucking job and they did it dramatically. Yeah. And a bit of colour to a robbery. You know, because some cunt goes into a bank and points a gun or gets a knife and fucks around.
Yeah,
some
a bit cliche.
All that crap. You hear about it all the time and it gets boring. But that is a story.
Yeah. I mean, that was... I'd have loved to seen...
Just see it.
Seen, like, video footage or been there, yeah. Just these two, like, fucking big fuck-off SUVs barreling down the runway, like, just getting in front of this plane. It's swerving everywhere, braking and all the smoke and shit going everywhere. Guns out, screaming.
Yeah.
You know, give us the diamonds, you buggers.
It's a proper, like, Snatch storyline, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
That's brilliant. See, these things do happen. There is some fun in the world.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so they got away with it.
It's a victimless crime as well.
Victimless crime. Well, you say that. That kind of industry over there in Brussels, which is in Belgium for people who don't know, that's their main industry, is it says around £150 million worth of diamonds goes in and out of Brussels every day.
Nice.
You know, as rough stones, and then they get cut, and then they ship back out to the rest of the world kind of thing. And so now that this has happened, obviously people aren't going to be sending the diamonds down there, and they reckon that Belgium's economy could actually collapse after this.
Yeah, Victoria Beckham's not going to get a diamond ring this year.
No, she's not. Stupid bitch. She's not dead yet.
She is like a sort of just a sack of skin and bones.
She's a vile, vile woman. I will never respect her after. I mean, I think I brought this up a few episodes ago. But she went into a restaurant and she asked for half an apple. Fuck knows why. So the guy came out with a full apple, but cut in half.
Yeah.
And then she went shit nuts. She was like, I asked for half an apple. Why would you give me a full apple? This isn't what I ordered. I ordered half an apple. And it was like, you got more than what you wanted. You got the apple in two halves. So you got two halves of an apple. And she fucking went nuts.
Some people get so fucking famous and so rich, they're just so fucking detached from the real reality of the world, aren't
they? Yeah.
You know, and the kids are going to be just as bad, so...
Oh, definitely.
They're all wearing the
And then they've got David Beckham with his voice like this, and, oh, I play football for Paris now, and I don't get any of my wages, I've given it all to charity. Fuck off!
You can afford to give it to charity when you've made fucking millions.
Yeah, he's made more money from advertising than he has from football. So, like, yeah, you've got enough money to fucking piss around giving it to fucking charities and stuff. Greedy bastard.
I put a pound in a box every now and again, you know.
Yeah, donkey charity me.
Yeah.
Love me donkeys.
Donkeys are brilliant. Woman driver destroys house while bonking behind the wheel.
Oh, nice.
Now, that interested me, obviously, because it just proves the disdain of women drivers, but also the word bonking. That is a fucking fantabulous word.
It's a word that's not used enough,
is it?
You know, I think we need to revive that.
It's a word that you use on the playground back in the day, you know, bonking. Bonking is sex, shagging.
Yes.
That's another British
fornication.
Word. Fucking, you know.
Fucking. Pure. In its basest of forms.
Yeah.
You know, bonking.
Bonking.
I bonked her brains out.
We do come up with some great words in Britain. Shagging and bonking are two of the greatest, I think.
Yeah.
I'm going to go for a shag.
Bonked her eyeballs out.
Bonked her senseless.
Bonked her colourblind.
Obviously, me and Jay have never used those words in reality, but, you know, it's nice to say every now and again.
Bonked your missus.
Oh, no! A woman driver ploughed her car. Ploughed, brilliant.
Yeah.
Another great word for sex. Ploughed her car through a house while bonking behind the wheel. Asia Walker, that's her name, was in the middle of an intimate clinch with her boyfriend, Charles Phillips.
Is he royalty?
Fucking Christ knows. When she lost control of her Hyundai motor and careered into a house, puncturing a hole through the back garden. See, this is just littered with innuendos now.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Smash the back doors in.
That's right, yeah. Fortunately, the property on Continental Drive, Deuta, Florida. So it's an American thing. Oh, right, okay. Florida was empty when the accident happened at 5:30 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
Just in case you wanted to. This is an early shag. Best time to have sex in the morning.
Yeah.
Personally, you know, from photos of the record show walls torn down and furniture smashed to bits. Incredibly, Walker walked away. Brilliant. Nah. With just minor injuries, and Phillips was unhurt. I bet he had a chafed cock, surely.
You'd think so.
When police arrived on the scene, the 30-year-old admitted she had been concentrating on the wrong gear stick. Brilliant.
Nice. On the wrong knob.
Yeah, there we go. Highway Patrol spokesman Kim Montez told NBC2, she told the investigating trooper that her and her boyfriend were getting a little inebrious, and the trooper suspected that she was... That's probably why she was lost... That's probably why she lost control of the vehicle. Walker has been charged with careless driving.
Careless driving and untimely bonking.
Untimely bonking. I've always wanted to try that, if I'm honest.
Yeah?
That's one of the sexual horizons I've yet to cross, Jay.
Well, I mean, I think actual having full-on sex behind the wheel as you're driving, that's a little bit... That's even too low for me. Nice bit of, you know, a bit of an hand job. That'd be all right, you know.
Yeah.
Put your... You know, fingers in the knickers, that's all right, but actually, full on sex.
Yeah.
I'd, yeah, I don't think I'd be able to concentrate on driving anymore.
I think it's just the, I guess it's just the danger aspect of doing it, though, isn't it? Especially if you're driving down a motorway or something, you just,
yeah.
Unzip your fly, go on off.
I mean,
get your laughing gear around that.
The thing is, I mean, I've masturbated while driving down the M1.
Good lord.
But, you know, that was at like 2 a.m, there was nothing on the road, and I just thought, I need to pass the time. My radio wasn't working, and I was just like, bored shitless, just driving down this road, middle of the night, no music, just the monotonous, you know.
Yeah, travelling down a motorway.
You know, yeah, din of the engine. And so I thought, fuck it, I'm not one out. And I managed to do it, but it wasn't easy. So for it to have, like, full-on sex, you know, it took me a long time, because I was getting close, and then I was like, oh, fucking hell, I need to change gear, change lane. So.
Okay, I need to ask some questions. One-handed? One hand on the wheel, steering wheel, one hand on the old tackle?
No, I had my knees up.
Oh, Christ, really? Wow.
Yeah, what I did is I pushed my seat back. Yeah, definitely. I pushed my seat back because I like to stretch my legs out a bit.
And, we've heard about this. Yeah,
knees up. Yeah, we fucking have you, cunt. knees up on, you know, steering the wheel. And, hands on the knob.
Wow.
But yeah.
I'm quite impressed by that, to be honest.
It was hard, man.
But the thing is, when you've come, where's... You're not going to be able to clean yourself up, are you, shortly?
Well, that's why I needed 2 hands.
Ah.
Yeah.
Right, okay, lovely.
Was, you know, because I was like, yeah. I think, in fact, that's it. You know those, you know those window screen wipes?
Oh, Lord.
You know, like, they're kind of like baby wipes, but yes. They're kind of like... For the window,
yeah.
I had to use them, and it was like a little bit stingy because it had like a cleaning fluid on it. And I was like, but you know, what was I gonna do? Just leave it on the floor of my car? No fucking chance.
It was soaking.
oh, no way, man.
Good lord.
So I cleaned up.
There we go.
While driving.
Nice.
Never fucking, weren't even tempted to go to the service station to clear up. Yeah. Clean up. I was like, fuck it, I'm doing this.
I haven't got the balls for that. Fair play to you, my friend.
Yeah.
I've got respect for that.
Yeah, well, I've only done it once. talking about... yeah. fucking hell. You know what? I really shouldn't reveal so much about myself on the podcast. I've painted such a poor picture of myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sure the listeners find it funny, but I don't think any of them would actually want to meet me.
Yeah.
They'd be a bit like, just a sex-crazed... You know, racist, sexist, just angry little fat man.
Yeah.
There's no good points to me whatsoever, apart from occasionally I can be quite funny.
Yeah.
Very occasionally.
Yeah.
A couple of times per episode, I think. Anyway, enough of that. I've got a story about a woman who actually did die. Which is
brilliant.
Good
news. Yeah.
Yeah.
Segway.
But yeah, it's a woman's death. Oh, hold on. Fucking what a time for me.
Oh, it's the tablet. Is the tablet gone a bit mental?
It's locked out. Woman's death linked to a daily diet of 2.2 gallons of cola a day.
That'll do it.
Yeah. Daily a day. That was bad fucking grammar. Natasha Harris, 30, has died after consuming up to 2.2 gallons of Coca-Cola a day. Every day, Mrs. Harris, 30, Invercargill in New Zealand... A New Zealand South Island died in February 2010. The coroner, Mr. David Correa, that said that the extreme amounts of coke played an essential role in the cardiac arrhythmia that finally killed her.
Nice.
Calculated that drinking 10 litres delivered 970 milligrams of caffeine.
Jesus.
Bearing in mind that a strong cup of coffee has around 50 milligrams of coffee.
Right.
You know, a Pro Plus tablet.
Yeah.
Each Pro Plus tablet has 50 milligrams of caffeine. So you'd have to eat, so that would be 20 of them a day. Is that right?
Something like that, yeah.
50 to 500, 1,000.
It's a
fair
few, let's be fair.
It's a, but every day. You're really supposed to have 6 a day. And she was like having the equivalent of 20. Plus, it was, and it equated to more than 1 kilogram of sugar per day.
Fucking hell.
1 kilogram of sugar per day. And what, you're supposed to have 60 grams of it a day? And that's your average daily consumption?
Something like that, yeah.
Something like that.
It's different, isn't it, for women and men? Yeah. Women are weaker and smaller.
That's it, yeah. You know, more dainty and smell of roses and shit. So 970 milligrams of caffeine and 1 kilogram of sugar a day. This is a quote from him. I find that when all the available evidence is considered, were it not for the consumption of very large quantities of coke by Natasha Harris, it is unlikely that she would have died when she died and how she died. That is such a fucking statement. It's just benign. But this is where it gets really bad. Miss Harris, a mum of 8, had been unwell for years.
8.
She drank no alcohol, but she smoked 30 cigarettes a day. She ate very little. Her teeth were rotten to the core. And some of her children were born with no enamel on their teeth.
Really?
Really. Fucking really, man. No enamel on the teeth.
Jesus.
That is fucking horrendous,
you know,
man.
You've had a bit too much of the old can of Coke when...
Happened.
But the thing is, it's like she must have needed all that fucking sugar to pump out 8 fucking kids.
You'd think so, yeah.
Jesus, she never stopped.
Yeah, I bet she had a pregnancy every 4.5 months.
How old was she? 30?
30.
Dirty bitch.
I know.
Bet she's not married.
Bet she was wearing knickers to keep her ankles warm.
That's right.
And then Mrs. Harris's mother-in-law, Vivian Hodgkinson, told the coroner's court she would go crazy if she ran out. She would get the shakes, withdrawal symptoms, be angry, on edge and snappy.
It is like full-on Class A drugs at that point when you've got that much coke going through you.
Pretty much, yeah. And it gets fucking wordy. But basically, the coroner said that she wouldn't have been able to come off Coke straight away, Coca-Cola.
Yeah, yeah,
said that her body would have shut down because of the amount of sugar and caffeine that she was putting into her body. If she tried to quit, it would be essentially the same as trying to get off heroin in a day.
I was about to say, they're going to have to wean her off the Coke with heroin.
They'd have to wean her off a fucking fizzy drink.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm no health guru. I mean, you know, I've got rolls of fat where there certainly shouldn't be rolls of fat. But even I know my limitations. If I have a kebab, I'll be like, give it a fortnight before my next one. Do you know what I mean? Like, if I have a bottle of Fanta, you know, I'll have that. And then I'll probably not have one for another month because it's, you know, and I do know it's bad. For her to have that much a day, 10 litres of it a day.
Yeah. I bet the kids are born addicts. Coke addicts.
Coca-Cola addicts.
Yeah.
So there you go. She's dead. So, you know, that's a win.
That's a lesson for everybody. Yeah, we're not missing a cancer cure, I feel.
No, yeah.
You know, I'm presuming. You know.
No saints died in the making of that story.
There we go. And sort of a follow-on story from that, talking about the 8 kids. The news headline here, a palace fit for a doll queen.
Oh, really?
It's one of these stories, Jay.
Okay.
This is going to anger some people.
Lay it on me, brother.
A brand new 400,000 pound home built specifically for benefits mum of 11 kids.
Fucking hell.
Yeah. She says, if I don't like it, they'll just have to build me a bigger one, won't they?
Oh, what?
And the government are specifically building a house to house this woman in. They're literally building it. Specifically,
Jesus.
A jobless mum on benefits is having a £400,000 council house built for her and her brood of 11 children. Town hall chiefs agreed that the 36-year-old Heather Frost...
36?
Yeah.
Fucking hell, I thought she'd be mid-50s.
She's only like a little, skinny little woman as well.
Jesus Christ.
She kept all the fucking kids. Heather Frost could live in a 6-bedroomed, 1,850-square-foot pad in Gloucestershire, in a move critics branded scandalous. And Heather has vowed to demand an even bigger home if she doesn't like the new one being laid out by the council.
She will get fucking shot before that happens.
I hope so. She said, it's being built especially for me. If I go there and I say to them I don't like it or it's too small, then they will just have to build me a bigger one, won't they? Don't you just want to shoot her with something?
Yeah. Yeah. I would feel no remorse if I shot her. Just one of those people. It's just like Hitler, fucking, you know, she is. She's one of those women that you just, you'd shoot her and you'd feel no remorse.
You'd help society if you shot her.
Yeah, you feel like you're cleaning up the gene pool.
And she continues, "It was my choice to have 11 children. I don't believe in abortion. I think it's a waste of taxpayers' money."
What? What?
Some other mums have called me a slag, but I love all of my children. I'd love to have more kids if I could. I bet you're ruined, love.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus, yeah. What's that saying? It'd be like opening the window and fucking the wind or something.
Throwing a hot dog down a hallway.
Yeah.
Heather currently lives with her brood in two separate houses knocked into one and has complained for years about the nightmare with the temporary living conditions. Now town hall chiefs have agreed she should move into the, you know, the 1,850 square foot eco house, which is valued at £400,000 by estate agents and boasts six bedrooms, three bathrooms, and a 355 square foot kitchen diner.
Wow.
The decision came after Gloucestershire's blah, 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 blah council sold a plot of land in the town for just £210,000. To the Severn Vale Housing Association, a non-profit making organisation which builds properties to rent. But she's not going to be renting this fucker.
No.
Heather and her kids, fathered by at least three different dads, will move in free of charge, and the council are believed to be subsidising her rent with housing benefit.
Wow. So we're building her a house.
Look at the size of this house, Jay.
Holy fuck!
It's a mansion.
That is fucking massive.
It's custom built house.
I've seen smaller like set of flats.
Yeah,
that is just ridiculous.
The mum who first gave birth at 14.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Yeah, now lives in Churchtown, Gloucestershire, with Tilly 3, Daisy 5, Ruby 7, brilliant name, Stefani 8. Brilliant.
Oh, God.
Emily, 10. Paige, 11. Chloe, 13. Jay, 14. Angel, 16.
Oh, no.
Toby, 19. And 21-year-old Sophie.
Fucking hell. You know what? Do you know why they've built her that house? To shut her the fuck up. They've built her that house, so hopefully she'll just stay in that fucking grotty... You know what? After half a year... It will stink of fucking fags.
Yep.
There'll be shit everywhere.
Yep.
There'll be fucking wallpaper being torn down. And they'll be sick and shit and piss everywhere. And she won't be happy. But she's got the ass, so she's got to shut the fuck up. And I think that's why they're doing it.
It's just take with these fucks.
Yeah.
It bores my piss. Something rotten, I tell you that. Recalling her lengthy wait for a suitable accommodation. There should be no such thing as suitable accommodation for 11 children. You should have your clunge sewn up.
Yeah, yeah. Fucking stick a shotty up there and just fire away.
She said...
Get that womb all mushed up.
Turn that womb into a wound. Brilliant. I'm a maverick. I'm an internet sensation. She said, we had to go private for a while and I had when I had seven children in a two-bedroomed house. Then we got this three-bed house and they knocked down a doorway through into one next door. It was meant to be for 4 months, but we've been here for 5 years now. Are we supposed to be sorry?
Yeah, I was supposed to
say, oh, really? No worry. Oh,
you've only got two houses to yourself.
Yeah.
That's such a shame.
It's a nightmare because you can't keep an eye on all of the children in the other house and there's only one door between them, which is a fire risk.
Well, so now she's all about the safety.
It's a fire risk.
Well, you know what? You know, if you can't watch all your children, there's kind of a clue in there.
Yeah.
Don't have so many.
It's kind of hard to watch 11 people at once, you know.
It's like buying a shark and then complaining to the council, oh, well, I've got nowhere to keep my shark.
Yeah.
I can't just keep it in the bath all the time. It's a hazard now. You need to build me a fucking shark tank.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, all right then, don't worry.
I've got the older children living over there while I'm with the younger ones in the other house. So that's brilliant. She saddled the older kids with the responsibility of looking after, say, half of the kids, five children.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well done. Mother of the year. Heather, who can have no more children after battling cervical cancer last year, has sparked outrage with critics who call her home a waste of taxpayers' money. Really? No shit is my response to that. And cervical cancer, I feel sorry for anybody that gets cancer, but seriously, time's time, love.
Yeah.
Probably for the best.
You won't hear me say this very often, but I'm glad she's got cancer. I hope it spreads. I hope it's in her fucking eyeballs now.
She continues. She's got a lengthy fucking speech here. She said, People say having cancer is my fault for having so many children, which is a terrible thing to say. They don't know my life. I didn't ask for a 6-bed house. It was the council's decision. No, but I thought you did. I thought you. She kept complaining.
Yeah.
So that's the same as asking.
Yeah, it's not your idea to have a 6-bedroom house, but you're complaining if it's not big enough.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's no defence, you fucking slag.
They had always had plans to build one, along with the 4 beds and the 3 beds. When we moved into the temporary accommodation that we live in now, we were always going to have to move on eventually. It was just whenever a 6-bed became available. Most people don't get 6-bed houses, love.
Yeah.
When it becomes available, they're building your house.
Yeah.
Specifically for your 11 children.
That's because there wasn't one available, because there wasn't one in the first place.
Most people don't need 6 bedrooms.
Fucking
most people don't have 11 children. That's enough for a football team.
Well, she's got cancer, so let's hope it comes back and fucking riddles her brain.
Fucking thing. It goes on and on and on about planning permissions and blah de blah de blah.
Yeah, well, yeah, just that's...
Fuck Heather Frost in the face.
Yeah, we hate her.
Yeah.
Well, I've got a story about another bad mum.
Hey!
But this woman is bit fucking nuts. Headline is lip service.
Well, hey.
Mum passed drugs to jailed son. Jailed son. Okay. Mum passed drugs to jailed son with a French kiss.
Oh, no!
And she is she's by no means a looker. I'll show my co-host.
That good is Lord! Her. She's about 50 million years old.
She's got so many wrinkles. She looks like the fucking Churchill dog. and he's no fucking...
Stunner.
Yeah, he's no Brad Pitt either.
Fuck me in the arse.
Kimberly Margeson, 54, passed 2 oxycodone pills to her 30-year-old son, William Partridge, by French kissing him during a visit to Yates County Jail, where he was being held, New York police believe. Marchison was charged with third-degree criminal sale of a controlled substance. Partridge was charged with second-degree promoting prison contraband. Partridge will call his lawyer just as soon as he can reach Mum's smuggled mobile phone.
Lols.
I
can't believe that.
But yeah, full on fucking snog.
Isn't
with
that
your
like,
mum for drugs?
Surely they must think something dodgy's going off there. It's, you know, it's like baking a cake with a file in it.
Yeah.
Hold on, why is that guy French kissing his mum?
Yeah.
That's a bit odd.
Well, that's probably why they got caught. You know, somewhat weird's happening there.
Yeah. Why would you do that?
And I don't mean to, like, steal a turn or anything, but I have got another story.
Yeah, roll on, yeah.
About, it's another prison thing and contraband. Guards find phone after prisoner's anus starts to vibrate. criminals can be wily, smart and cunning. Here they go. They're going to try to be fucking funny with it. But for the most part, they're very, very thick. We've all seen the footage of various burglars making berks of themselves on CCTV, failing to kick doors and wearing mop buckets on their heads.
We certainly have.
One ne'er-do-well, I hate that phrase, takes the biscuit after his arse started ringing while in the clink. the Sri Lankan prisoner was obviously trying to hide a mobile phone up his bum, but alas, when his colon started chirruping away and vibrating at Welikada prison, his game was up. Then, you know, they took him for an x-ray when they found a mobile phone up his anus.
Surely, if you're going to shove a phone up your arse, Jay, you're going to put it on silent.
You'd think so, wouldn't you? Take the vibrate off as well.
Yeah, you take the vibrate off, you put it on silent. You
know. A prison official revealed the man had concealed the phone inside his person. Unfortunately for him, the phone rang at the wrong time and the guards knew where the phone had... Knew he had the phone...
Start again.
Unfortunately for him, the phone rang at the wrong time and guards knew he had a phone at the wrong end.
Hey!
Brilliant.
What kind of phone? Was it an iPhone or
It doesn't say.
Because that matters, you see, because the phones these days, they're big flat tablets, aren't they? Could you imagine one of those going up the arse?
Yeah, definitely.
It's nice and thin.
I've got a shit old phone at the moment, and it's over there.
It might be thin, but it's wide, isn't it? You know.
Yeah.
You want one of the old school Nokias, you know.
There's like, even a 3310, they're quite bulky things. But you used to be able to get like the really, really tiny ones, couldn't you?
Yeah.
So, but no, I'd love it if we went for like one of the new smartphones, fucking big ass
big tablet. Yeah. I'd also wonder if you could pick the.
He's got a MacBook sticking out of his ass.
You can't update those apps, matey. I'd love to think that you could answer the phone and then hear what it would sound like in his anus. I'd just be just a morbid curiosity. I'd love to know that.
You know. No,
should we try that later when we finish the show?
Yeah, yeah,
sure. It's going to be your ass.
Oh yeah, it's funny. Yeah, you come up with the idea, but it's me that has to be on the receiving end.
Yeah, why not? I have a sort of. It's not a Jesus watch. It's a religious story, Jay.
Okay.
So we're going to get very. Very chill there and just listen okay. to this. This is good stuff.
I'm gonna get my prayer bead prayer beads going.
Is that what you call it these days? Well, hey. Antichrist ex-con becomes churchman after God cured his heroin addiction. Because God cured that.
Yeah.
An ex-con who said he was so evil he was like the Antichrist ditched his life of crime to become a churchman. Never mind. I think the con might have been a better career choice. Daniel Cunningham, who was 35, began his criminal career at age 11 before developing a 300-a-day heroin habit and being jailed for 5.5 years for robbery. But he had found God during a religious meeting in jail and claims it helped him kick his habit immediately.
Wow, that's some pretty good God going.
Yeah.
Going there.
It's funny how God only reaches the people that are in desperation, like, you know, heroin addicts or people in jail, things like that. You know?
Yeah.
People that are dying, etc. Darrell, who now works as a pastor in Runcorn, Chester, said of the day he turned his life around. One day, a bloke with a clipboard asked me if I wanted to join the Alpha Course. That sounds like some sort of secret agent base thing. You know?
Yeah.
Alpha Course.
Yeah, the ZX3000s.
Yeah. And I basically went because they offered me free coffee and biscuits and I wouldn't have had to spend my afternoon in my cell.
Oh, there were reasonable.
Two. Yeah, it gets a bit sexy now. There were two nuns, and I gave them a load of abuse. But they were. See what I did there?
Brilliant, yeah, yeah. Brilliant.
Maverick, that's what I am. But they were very patient and seemed to listen to what I had to say. I thought I would never have the capacity to feel any kind of love ever again. But the way they treated me stopped me in my tracks. What? Because they were a bit nice. Because they were nice yeah. to you. They always make out, these people always make out like they were the evilest, dirtiest people in the world. There was no way they could be changed apart from God.
Yeah.
It's bullshit.
When really what happened is that you've been having a bit of a bad time, you know, you're a bit of a rumming, you've gone inside for a bit, you know, no one really likes you, and to get out of yourself for a bit, you've gone to one of these fucking church going type things.
Yeah.
And because you've had a bit of a better time, you've thought, oh, God must have done that. No, it's because you wasn't in yourself fucking cramming heroin up your jacksie. It's not God doing, it's just a series of events.
That night, I said the first real prayer I'd ever said and told God I needed him to prove it. Prove what? I don't know. And take away my drug addiction. You ready for this?
Right.
Darrell said the next morning he tried to smoke a cigarette, but it made him feel sick. And he was not. And he's not smoked since. He became a different person, shunning fights and drugs and even running a church course in prison. It was a dramatic... dramatic? It was a drastic U-turn for Darrell, who crimes included shoplifting sprees, stealing badges from cars, and vehicle theft. This is coming from this antichrist, this yeah. evil man. Some people are in prison, Jay, for like cutting children's heads off and school fucking them.
Yeah.
You know. And I wonder if they found God.
And he's been stealing badges from cars.
Apparently.
I mean, what were badges doing in there anyway? I thought they were supposed to be in like boroughs and stuff.
Christ knows.
Oh, wait. Oh, no, you mean badges in, like, actual car badges. I thought you meant, like, the black and white badges. I thought you'd been going around taking badges out of cars.
That'd just be weird.
Mm.
Darrell, who ended up in the Wolds jail in Bro, East Yorks, said, I wasn't far off being an antichrist. Whatever.
Yeah.
I just didn't care at all. I generally felt dead on the inside and didn't feel anything apart from hate and anger and guilt. Crime was everywhere and everybody was doing it. It was only a matter of time before I got involved.
Fucking hell.
What a fuck. He's like milking it. Really yeah. milking that, isn't he?
It sounds like such a weak-willed man.
Yeah.
You know, oh, everyone's stabbing himself in the face. I might as well get on with it then. Fucking hell. No, mate. Make a choice.
Yeah. And where was God when he was doing all this?
Yeah.
Well,
it's funny how God works, isn't it? It
mysterious lets
you make
ways,
the right fucking... Makes you make a shit end of your life... you know, you end up in prison and you're fucking taking heroin and you've lost all your family, you've got no friends and you look like a sack of shit because you're withdrawn and your muscles are dying and you're probably going to have a, you know, carotid artery soon. But, oh no, God stop you. God stop then. It helps you stop then.
Yeah.
And now you're thanking God, are you? Why not thank him for helping you not commit a crime in the first place and lead a decent life?
Yeah.
No, it makes you fucking put the life in the blender and then it's okay, is it? Fuck it, you know what? God's a cunt. He's a right fucking dirty little cunt.
He does things the arse end way,
doesn't
he? I want
him to come down here and fucking look me in the eyes and tell me that he's not a cunt.
Yea unto thee, Jay, my son, I am not a cunt.
I'd kick him in the balls.
When he was released, Darrell went to a local minister who he had visited in jail and told him the church would be a good place for him to go. Blah, 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 got his life on track. He's now married to a fit woman. Fit as.
Really?
Look at this bird he's with.
Oh, yes.
She takes a look at the ass. He's got two kids. His life's on track. He's got a lovely job, and he's a pastor now, and he's teaching other young people who were in the similar situation as him, the way to God, because they can't quit drug addictions and things on their own.
Right.
Because we don't do anything on our own.
No.
Yeah.
No, we haven't done anything on our own for thousands of years, have we?
No, it's 2,000 years, is it? Something. Mm. 2013 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's when.
Or do you want to go from the start of, you know, when the Earth was created about 5,000 years ago?
Yeah.
We haven't done anything decent since then, have we?
That was after the flood at Noah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Jesus was born 2013 years ago.
Yeah.
Because we know the date it was of his birth.
Silly bugger.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Going a bit anti-Christ there.
I've got another sort of semi-related story here.
Okay. Can we make this the last one? Because I'm tired and I want to.
We can go indeed. Home. Tumor turned me into a violent armed robber. So from God to a tumor.
Okay.
In three easy steps.
It's not a tumor.
It's not a tumor. a petty thief was turned into a violent armed robber by a brain tumour, a court heard yesterday.
Right.
Trevor Hayes was jailed indefinitely for a sawn-off shotgun spree, which he terrorised customers, stole nearly £50,000 and threatened motorists. When he has now had his sentence quashed after three appeal court judges heard his rampage was triggered by an undiagnosed tumour. So this is a lesson for everybody if you ever get caught.
Yeah, by the cops.
I've got a tumour. The growth on his frontal lobe, which doctors only discovered in prison, caused aggressive and compulsive behaviour.
I can half believe that, but it's a bit fucking, you know, a bit convenient, isn't it?
Sounds it, yeah. The judges were told that without the tumour, he would have not behaved in that way, and that now if he had surgery removed, it would no longer cause a threat to society and to himself.
Bit of a get out of jail free card, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I say. You should use that. I mean, if you get into jail, maybe just bang your head against the wall a lot.
Yeah.
I think that's how it works.
Until you get out or die.
Yeah.
They'll free up prison space.
Well, this is the thing. He was jailed indefinitely, but now they've replaced his sentence with one of 11 years. Meaning Hayes, who is 47, could be free in 2018. The judges said it was a highly unusual case, but they were satisfied that there was a direct link between his condition and his behaviour. Hayes of Hanley, Oxfordshire, was jailed in 2011 for raids on a bank and a post office. He also stole a van he used as a getaway vehicle.
It, you know what? It sounds all very planned out and very, you know, like he's thought this through. For saying that this tumour has made him act like not as himself.
Right.
It still seems as though he's quite coherent in his thoughts.
Yeah.
And what makes me kind of question that, actually, now that I've thought about it, is that how many people have got, like, brain tumours? And how many of them don't go around, like, with a sawn-off shotgun stealing?
Yeah.
It's funny how once he's got in, you know, he's ended up in jail, that's when, you know, that's why it was, you know, that's why he did it. It was the tumour's fault.
I like to think it's like some sort of cartoon, so the tumour's actually talking in his head.
Yeah.
Seen that sawn-off shotgun? Yeah. Take it. What? Take it. I don't. Just take it to the bank.
Yeah, it's got an eye patch on and a bandana and a soul patch. It's like, go on, just take it, mate. Yeah. Oh, you seen how much money they got in there? Yeah, but it's not ours. Yeah, but fucking take it. You know, then we can have a right good time on it.
Put the mask over your frontal lobe.
Yeah, I don't want them to see me. You're in my school. Yeah, I'm not taking any chances this time, Sunshine.
You don't know me.
Right.
So there we go, Jay.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, sorry, I'm rolling a fag. I'm already doing all the things that I would normally do.
After the show.
Yeah, after the show.
Are you going to roll me one?
No.
Aww.
Yeah, I got them.
Aww, gotcha.
I've got one tiny little story.
Okay.
Boy age 10 arrested for showing student his orange toy gun on a school bus.
That's a euphemism for cock.
Yeah. A 10-year-old student of Virginia's Douglas MacArthur Elementary School
has
been arrested. I know, it fucking is, yeah. Just call it school.
School.
What school do you go to? School. Has been arrested and charged with brandishing a weapon. The boy's offence was to have shown an orange-tipped toy gun to another student on the bus home. Reports were made. The next day, school officials searched the boy's bag, located the toy, and called the police. The police took him into custody.
Get the fuck out of it.
There's a picture of the kind of gun that the was toy. Used.
Yeah.
I'll just
this is going on the Facebook page. It's going to be fucking this, mint.
That's the gun.
I'm strapping in.
That's what kind of gun it was.
It's like a Nerf gun.
It is. It's a spud gun. It is actually a spud gun. But...
Who calls the police?
The thing is, he didn't... You know...
What teacher sees that and calls the police? Why don't you just get him in? Where's the headmaster? Don't you just... In my day, you got to talk to the headmaster, even if he had something bad in your... I remember a kid having a knife in his bag once when I was in, like, primary school. He just happened to have, like, a pen knife in his bag for some reason. He got called to the principal's office. The principal told him off, called his parents. Done and done.
Yeah, that's it. They took the knife off him and he probably went back to school the very same day.
Yeah.
But it's like, but now, this blatantly orange plastic toy gun. And let's face it, we've all had a spud gun fired at us. And it's like, it doesn't hurt whatsoever. It's like a housefly gently bump into your arm. You know, it really doesn't hurt. You could fire it right into the center of your fucking eyeball and it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah.
But they've actually called the cops and they have decided that it's bad enough that they should take him into custody.
Take him into custody.
Yeah, he should go into custody and be questioned by the police because he had a spud gun and he's 10 years old.
Mm.
Did they think he was going to go on some kind of crime spree? You know, like terrorizing the fucking city where he lives with his spud gun. You know, just massacring thousands of people with his spud gun. You know, every now and then having to go into a fucking farm foods to pick up another apple. I mean, it's like, what the fuck? What was he going to do?
Picks the apple up and then robs the places in.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So.
One stop for ammunition.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
So.
There we are.
Are we
calling this a show?
I would like to think so.
Brilliant.
If it had to be classed as anything, it would be classed as a show.
Lovely. I think so. I think we've earned that title.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, that's going to go on the Facebook along with all the other pictures of the stories that we've talked about tonight. And, you know, Facebook is Dirty Con Podcast. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter, Dirty Con Podcast. If you want to email us, not that you do, it's dirtycon@live.co.uk. There's also a forum, isn't there, Jay?
There is, yeah. It's funny you should bring that up because just before the show, well, a couple of hours before the show, I went on it for the first time in maybe 3 months and people are still posting on it.
Yeah, every now and again. I mean... That was something we had when we had a website, and then we thought, well, everybody's using Facebook. It's a waste of money to have a website. So we had a forum link to that, and it's still up there.
Yeah.
I think if you just search Dirty Con Forum, you'll find it in a Google search. And, you know, Jay's checked it, and I might start checking it because he's, you know, there's apparently some posts, so that's cool.
There's still some pictures up there of Splurge's mangina.
There's a mangina post, and a few people posted things on there, and it's what it is. It's just, you know, it's something to behold.
Yeah, you don't describe it. You just see it.
You witness it.
Yeah. And just ride the train.
Ride the train. So there we go. And what's the song we're going to end on tonight, Jay?
Oh, are we going to end up on that cake?
Yeah, Cake.
It's a band called Cake, and they've done a cover of Gloria Gaynor's quite faggy I Will Survive.
I Will Survive.
Yeah, yeah, but they've made it into quite a good little song, so we're going to end on that.
Cool. So until next week, kids, it's goodbye from me, the John Boy.
And it's goodbye from me as well, Steve?
Steve, sure.
Colin?
Colin?
Sarah?
Well,
I could pull off a Sarah.
You could pull off a Sarah.
I could definitely be a Sarah.
Yeah. I've seen videos of you pulling off Sarahs.
Oh, yeah. Too right. It's goodbye from me, JT.
Lovely.
Yeah. Bye.
Goodbye.
What? Do you want anything else? Bill and Ted there.
Yeah.
We're still recording, aren't we?
Yeah.
Right, bye. I should have changed my lock. I would have made you leave your key if I'd have known. But just one second, you'd be back to bother me. Oh, now go walk out the door. Just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with desire? Did you think I'd crumble? Did you think I'd lay down? Just feeling sorry for myself, I used to cry. But now I hold my head up high and you see me with somebody new. I'm not that stupid little person still in love with you. And so you thought you'd just drop by and you expect me to be free. But now I'm saving all my loving for someone who's loving me. Oh, now go walk out the door, just turn around. Now you're not welcome anymore. Weren't you the one who tried to break me with